In my opinion, Hurricane Ida was a blessing in disguise for the Saints.
Packers fans are idiots.
George Kittle loves to get yards, especially after the catch.
Welcome back to Certified Beef. It is the end of week four, or almost the end of week four. As you can see in my background, we got the Giants-Seahawks game on. We know who's good. We know who's bad. Me and Brandon are going to give our too early to panic on these teams, close to panicking on these teams, and then the smashing the panic button. Two teams per category, and then obviously we'll get into booking with beef later. Brandon, we'll start with you. Who is your first too early to smash the panic button?
My first too early to press the panic button on, trusting the process. We're going to go with the Cleveland Browns right now. It mostly rests on how ungodly good that defense is. They are sixth in rush yards allowed and first in passing yards allowed. So they're not letting you on the board at all. Nick Chubb, his injury against the Steelers in week two, obviously like kind of derails their offensive identity a little bit, but they've still been kind of chugging along. They're kind of ebb and flowing right now because they have been playing the greatest football, but they're still within the race by a long shot. They are helped out because they got a third place schedule, or are they fourth place even? Did they finish fourth last year? Yeah, it's fourth place schedule, so it makes it even easier for them. They are currently 1-2 against the division, so not the start you want. And the win came against the Bengals, which isn't looking too hot right now when you've lost to the Ravens and the Steelers. But I think if they keep up this pace, they should be able to get into the playoffs. I'm pretty confident in that because, like I mentioned, defense way too good for this team not to have a postseason berth. And their offense is still talented. It's just like, can Deshaun Watson manage the ship with everything that's like going on inside and outside? So yeah.
Yeah. I think their last game, you just got to delete the tape or delete that. Like, that's just tough that Deshaun Watson could play. I know that the defense gave up 28 points, but when your offense can't do anything, eventually your defense is going to wear down. You're going to give up a lot of points. So just tough to have him be out. DTR did all he could. My first team is the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons, they're still in the race for the NFC South. That is why I'm not there yet for them. My problem is Desmond Ridder fucking sucks, first of all.
Yeah.
And they can't win away from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They are horrible on the road. They only win at home. I like their roster to an extent, but they have a horrible offensive scheme. I understand you have Bijan and Tyler Allgeier. Now, if you want to like go with that philosophy, they should have 40 plus carries a game, but they struggle to stay in front ahead of in games. Sometimes when they do that, they don't have a good enough quarterback to bring them back in games. So basically what it comes down to is if they're not winning, they're probably not going to win games. Like, I'm surprised they came back against Packers week two. I mean, they are at home, that probably does help, but they're just a horrible team on the road. They have Desmond Ridder, who's god awful. And it sucks because they have a good roster. I feel bad for Kyle Pitts. He's just getting wasted away. The fact that Jonnu Smith had 6 for 95 in this game against the Jaguars in London, and I think Kyle Pitts had 2 catches. It's unbelievable. Like, what's the point of taking a guy at 4 overall, especially a tight end, and not utilize him? I feel like you could have probably got someone better at that position. And obviously, Arthur Smith wasn't the one to take him in the draft, but you would think as Arthur Smith would want to use this unicorn of a talent, but I guess not.
He's just an overpaid decoy is basically what he is right now. Like, he's just kind of out there that they might throw him the ball. And if he does, if they get it to him, he's probably going to do some damage, but they never do. So, like, why not just cut it and try and get some equity back for him? Like, that's what I don't get. You're not going to use him. Like, obviously, like you said, Jonnu Smith, like, he had a much better game than Kyle Pitts. Yeah. why not try and get a good mid to high round pick for him, or at least some like serviceable talent to plug up some holes he got.
Yeah, and the real problem is that they're in the South, so they're going to win enough games where they won't be in the position to draft like one of the top, probably maybe three, at least two quarterbacks. So they're just in an awkward position going forward. All right, Brent, your second team.
My second team might surprise you a little bit, but I think it makes sense once you think about it. We're going with the Philadelphia Eagles. Yes, they are currently 4-0. But all four of their wins have been pretty ugly for the most part. Besides week 3 against the Buccaneers on Monday Night Football. Like, that was their only truly dominating performance besides Jalen Hurts throwing 2 interceptions. But, like, week 1 took the Patriots to turn over the ball twice, which gave the Eagles either great field position or just, like, obviously absolutely killed the Patriots' drive. They were outgained in that game 3-2 to 251. Then week 2, us Vikings fans know that game pretty well. Vikings lost 4 fumbles. 2 of them, I'm pretty sure, were inside the Vikings 30 with the muff punt, and I'm pretty sure the Alexander Madison fumble. And then Kirk had an interception that he threw, I think, right? Yeah.
No.
He didn't throw it? Okay,
no,
still.
He had a fumble for return for a touchdown. Brandon Powell fumbled a muff punt inside Philadelphia territory. Madison fumbled in like midfield, and then I don't remember the other. I can't remember the other fumble. Oh, Jefferson. Yeah.
Yep. So the reason they won that game is because they were able to capitalize on their opportunities, and since they got all those opportunities, you're eventually going to score. They were on top for most of the game, and they just exposed the weak Vikings run defense for the rest of the game. And then week 4. I didn't get to see much of this game besides like the final 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. I don't mind the aggressive mindset by Nick Sirianni there to try and get one over the top, especially on a rookie like Emmanuel Forbes. And that you do trust your defense, who is usually at the top, near the top of the league, stats wise, but it's really hard to see how they didn't preserve that lead against the Commanders, especially since that Terry McLaurin call went the wrong way.
That was bullshit.
Against the Commanders. And it took, like, you for... It went to overtime, which, like, that should not happen. Like, they're currently 3-0 in one-score games and 1-0 in OT. And as a Vikings fan, we've seen that too much before last year. So I think one wrong bounce for the Eagles and it could start going all downhill for them.
Yeah, one thing that's stupid about the Eagles that I've been thinking about is if they like go undefeated in one score games, they're going to be hailed as like one of the greatest teams of all time. Even though the Vikings did that last year, everyone called us frauds, and they won't. No one will do that with the Eagles. I think they're very unimpressive, like you said. I wouldn't panic. Like obviously, they're going to be a playoff team, but they don't look as good as last year right now. They have a lot of holes in the defense. Their offense is just fine, but their secondary is fucking awful. Like Slay and Bradbury look like they've lost a step just in the offseason, which is surprising to say the least. My second team is the Patriots. Reason I'm not at that point for the Patriots is because I still believe that Bill Belichick is a good coach. He may have like his philosophy may be going downhill, not and doesn't fit to the league. And I don't really know what position they are in with Mac. It's kind of confusing what they're going to do. But they always have a talented enough roster, and they get enough out of their talent. That's the problem. I think is they don't have enough guys right now. They always tend to have like very little like top end talent, and I think that's kind of affecting them right now. But it's still the Patriots. Like, you still got to have some belief in them. I think their season's over. But going forward, it's kind of head-scratching. I don't know what their plan is. Mac Jones is going to be going into year 4. And he doesn't look horrible. But, like, the problem is he's not going to elevate you the way you want him to. And that's kind of what looks like going forward. Obviously, their defense is good, but when your offense can't put up any points, it's going to be tough to win games.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Your close calls.
On the edge.
Yep. Yeah.
First one. We are going with the New Orleans Saints sitting at 2-2 right now. Saints defense, kind of like the Browns, just top tier. Hadn't given up more than 20 points in a game besides their recent loss to the Buccaneers in Week 4. So you got that going for them. Offense still sucking it up. Haven't scored more than 20 points yet this season, which is very concerning. Saints are this year's Broncos, that the defense will hold it down, but the offense just can't get it done at all. The offense is going to weigh heavily on Chris Olave, Alvin Kamara, and some Michael Thomas. I don't know how much he's getting involved, but he does at least show up on the stat sheet, so that's pretty good. Derek Carr is now playing injured. Did he get taken? He got taken out of the game, though, against the Buccaneers, didn't
he? Yeah,
because Jameis and Taysom Hill both played.
Yeah, Jameis threw a pick, which
is
hilarious.
Yeah, on his only pass attempt.
Yep.
Like, against the Buccaneers, it was just a horrible day on offense for anyone not named Chris Godwin, who had, like, 149 or something like that. What will make or break is how smart the quarterbacks for the Saints play. And if the NFC South starts to revert back to what we think they are, like you mentioned with the Falcons, they're kind of teetering on that edge a little bit of, are they good enough to get it done or not? The Buccaneers are surprising this year, being 3-1 right now. And then the Panthers are just god awful. So, I think it hurts. It really hurts to drop that game against the Buccaneers, because that was truly the game to see who's the front runner in the division. And it right now, after 4 weeks, it's the Buccaneers.
Yeah. My first team on the edge is the Carolina Panthers. Reason why is they were 7-10 last year. They weren't a bad team. They were very frisky, played well, their defense wasn't that bad, and now they've kind of regressed, and it's kind of weird. I get that you have a new coach coming in, new philosophies and everything, but they still have a decent amount of talent. I know that they're having a couple of injuries, but panic-wise is the fact that they are without a first-round pick next year, and it looks like they might finish with a top bottom three record, and not having that first-round pick is going to be it's going to be crucial now that they don't without it. And I mean, obviously, we've got to take the opportunity with Cam to get their franchise quarterback, especially with their quarterback situations throughout the last couple of years since Cam left. But yeah, it's rocky there in Carolina. They don't look like they're going to get any better. Bryce Young looks good, but he doesn't look great. CJ Stroud is definitely looking like the better quarterback throughout the first 4 weeks. Yeah, mainly just, I mean, obviously they're not going to be a great team. Like, no one expected them to be a good team.
I know one person that I expect them to be a good team.
Well, that's just Homer. That's just Homer right there. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that. I expect them to be about what they did last year, and they're definitely doing a lot worse. But yeah, I'm just worried for them because they are getting, they're one of the two winless teams. And they don't have a first-round pick. And the other winless team has their first-round pick, which is very ironic. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about the Panthers going forward. I mean, obviously they have a young roster, but to an extent, you gotta revert back to what you were last year. Like, you gotta show improvements, if not, be the same. But, yeah. All right, your second team, Brian.
All right, my second team. I know, I'm sure lots of people are with me on this. We're going with the Los Angeles Chargers, now sitting at 2-2. Never trust the Chargers while Brandon Staley is still their coach. You gotta wash week one away because you scored more points than the rest of the league besides two teams, and one of those teams was the Dolphins. Brandon Staley is now notorious for his awful calls, his awful like game management like decisions, calling timeout to let Derrick Henry back in the game in a late game, third and one situation, which ultimately helped the Titans win that game. Healthy scratching J.C. Jackson against the Vikings.
Yeah, I did see someone probably that he was like, because of that like off the field issues, that's why I got healthy scratched.
It was off the field issues? Okay. So that makes more sense, but it's still questionable sometimes, especially in the league like the NFL. And then going for it from your own 24 late game, not punting with no timeouts remaining for the Vikings, pin them deep. Like, I get it, you want to be the big hero, but sometimes you just got to play the field position. As for week four, the Chargers beat the Raiders 24-17, I believe it was.
Yes,
let me look real quick.
Yes, that's what it was.
Yep, 24-17. They jumped out to a 17-point lead at half, but in terms of pure stats, Aiden O'Connell played better than Herbert, but I also do think that's because the Raiders were trailing the entire time, basically. But the Raiders' defense is not good, and they stopped the Chargers' offense all of the second half. Like, they didn't get a single field goal or anything like that. And the defense let the Raiders back into the game, allowing 10 unanswered points. So, like, they still got the job done to win the game, but, man, was that ugly. As for being a defensive-minded head coach, Brandon Staley has ranked near last in the past 2 years and some odd change. He's been the head coach of the Chargers with the highest paid defense in the league. I believe they are leading or like the worst in terms of like passing defense right now in terms of yards allowed. So yeah, Brandon Staley was good with the Rams. Maybe that's just the talent he had. But they still got talent on this team, and I don't know what's going wrong with it. Thing that's going to keep them going, pushing for a playoff spot, is how good Kellen Moore's offense is playing, and that the AFC West is pretty garbage besides the Chiefs. So putting up 21 plus points in that division is not going to be difficult at all.
Yeah. My second team is the Steelers. I think this fact, the only thing that factors into this is Matt Canada. This team is teetering on the edge of panic mode whenever he would, for how long he continues to be the offensive coordinator. Mike Tomlin said there's definitely going to be changes, and I totally expected him to be fired. Turns out, I don't know what the changes are, according to Mike Tomlin, but Matt Canada was not one of them. And you got to think that eventually you got to let this guy go. They have yet to have a 400-yard game under him. Not to mention Kenny Pickett, it might be out for a game or two. It's not as bad as what they thought it was going to be, but he might be out a game or two. It's just this team is on the edge of panicking because of their fucking shitty-ass offense coordinator, which I don't know why you wouldn't want to get rid of this guy. He's been horrible. Their offense looks abysmal. You put up 6 points against a Texans team that is still young and you have the ability to give up points, and you put up 6 points. And you had a decent day out of Najee Harris, and you guys still couldn't score. So this team is at risk. I know they're 2-2, but the risk of going below 500 now is getting real, especially with Mitchell Trubisky being the backup and maybe having to play. Yeah, I don't know. This Matt Canada, if he's the coach the entire season for that offense, it's not looking good. All right.
Understandable. Yeah. I mean, that would go along with my storyline that I picked 2-3 weeks ago. So, yeah, let's make it happen.
All right, Brandon, your first team that you're smashing the panic button.
We are going to go. First team that I'm going with that gonna smash the panic buttons on. It's a team you've already mentioned. We're going with the New England Patriots here. They have an absolute meat grinder of a schedule. First off, playing in the AFC East is tough enough. Then you have to go take on the league's best overall defense of the Cowboys, get absolutely shit on 38-3, play another tough defense in the Saints, and you get a little easy break with the Raiders, and then it's the Bills, the Dolphins, Commanders can play some good ball. The Colts are surprising people. Like, you got the Chiefs later on the schedule. Like, it's not looking too hot for old Bill Belichick over there. There hasn't been a game where I think anyone has been like, oh man, the Patriots look like a really solid football team that can do things, right? Like,
yeah.
Mac Jones got benched against the Cowboys and has kind of like lost the locker room a little bit, because I was listening to Fouled Out podcast but with Matt and Adam on there. They've been on the show before. Adam was talking about how, like, during the Jets game, Mac Jones kind of got like a cheap shot on him, and like the Jets were dogpiling on him, and none of his offensive linemen went to help him. And then he just like punched Sauce in the dick right after that. So, like, not a good guy, really, I guess. And now you got Judon and Christian Gonzalez out for the foreseeable future. And the defense with them wasn't playing stellar anyways. So, like, it's not going to be, if the Patriots keep floundering on offense, it's not going to be good enough to hold them up above water. I think that the Patriots are simply just not a good overall talent team. Like, Bill Belichick is one of the guys that, like, does more with less, but I think this is too much less to do more with. And I honestly wouldn't be surprised if this is Belichick's last season coaching the Patriots. Either, like, I don't think he'll get fired, but he might just say, I'm done with coaching. I can still be the GM, but I'm done with coaching for now.
Yeah, I doubt he's going to be the GM. I don't think he'll get fired. I don't think they have the ability to fire him, because he's...
No, he rides.
He kind of has like 10 years,
but...
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, it would be interesting to see if the Patriots are in a position to draft a quarterback, to see what they do. Like, if they're a top 10 team, like... But the problem is, if it's the Patriots and Bill Belichick's the coach, if they're a top 10 team pick, it screams trade back. Absolutely screams it. Just the old Patriot way, trading back to get more draft picks, get those fourth and fifth rounds, you know. My first team smashing the panic whatnot is the Cincinnati Bengals. This is a very, very, very bad start. They were off to a bad start last year. They got to 2-2. This year they're 1-3. They looked horrible yesterday. And obviously a lot of it comes with the fact that Burrow was not healthy. Still isn't healthy. I'm just worried that he, honestly, the way he, I mean, them putting him out there and him playing for my, like, just, it makes me think of, like, people, like, when they're, like, drunk, making the joke, like, oh, give me my keys. Like, Joe Burrow playing is like a drunk driver. It's like, it, in any instant, it could be a fucking disaster. It's like his, like, a, they're risking an Achilles injury, just like Rodgers put him out there. Like, I get that you want to be competitive and you're supposed to be a competitive team, but if you don't, like, get this back to like 500, or like if Burrow is not fully healthy by the time that they play the Bills and they're not 500, this season might be chalk. Like, I know that sucks to say, being a competitive team, but it might not be the worst idea to just chalk up the season and be like, we just got to revert to next year. Or, like, sit him, get him healthy, and try to go for a wild card or something. I think that their aspirations for the division might be on the window now. I'm just worried, panic more, because I think Joe Burrow is seriously on the verge of getting seriously injured. He can't move. Defenses know this, and they're blitzing the fuck out of him. And their offense is stagnant. They have no explosive plays because they can't throw the ball down the field. Yeah, it's just like eventually it's going to catch up to them. And like this week, they're on the road against the Cardinals. Like, obviously they're like, oh, Joe Burrow, like, rebound game. Cardinals have been super frisky. Their defense is definitely the better part of their team, I would say, than their offense. Their defense can get after you a little bit. So I'm worried. I definitely think if they drop that game, I think it's sit Joe Burrow time. And seriously think about the foreseeable future and not worry about this season.
I think they should just sit him.
No, I agree. I wish they would, but they definitely won't.
Right. No, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a horrible game. And like what I don't understand is they knew that he was unhealthy. Why didn't they bring in a better backup? Like, their backup is Jake Browning and AJ McCarron. I feel like there's better options out there than those two if you have to start up for a game. If you have to start a backup for a game. Like, even if you're going to sit someone for a week, I would sit someone now. Like, I think a backup quarterback, a healthy backup quarterback, could get the job done against the Cardinals. I know that they like Frisky, but
oh yeah,
get him healthy. They have the Seahawks coming up the week after that. Then they got the Bills. So I'm pretty sure it's the Bills. Or the bye.
They got the bye week. And then the 49ers and then the Bills.
But yeah, like, if you could somehow get it 3-3 into the bye week, or even 2-4, I don't think it's a bad idea to sit Joe Burrow until after the bye. The problem is that what they're going to do is they're going to think, like, oh, we can get healthy before or during the bye, so then they're going to keep playing them. That's like what's going to happen, but I wish they wouldn't, but that's definitely what's going to happen. Because if they weren't in this hole, I could see them not playing them, but since they're in this 1-3 hole, they have to try and get out of it.
Yeah. Yep. I get what you're saying, because, yeah, Cincinnati Bengals are also my red alert second team there. This team is just too talented to be 1-3 right now, and it's all because of Joe Burrow's health and that the offensive line seemingly has not really improved at all despite their signings. I don't know if they just needed a new O-line coach or just wipe everybody away. Like, what the hell's going on there? Even, like, get Jamar Chase the ball. Like, even if it's, like, a little drag route or something, like, get him his touches. Like, he is one of the dudes that just demands touches every game, and he's just not getting them right now. It doesn't make sense. Like, what is the game plan? Team just looks all out of shape. Like, the defense is playing, like, average to solid level. Like, not great, especially against the run where they're pretty awful. But yeah, you basically said everything. Like, a three-peat for the AFC North title it's basically out of the question now, because they got their first place schedule. They played in a stacked division where everybody is at least 500 besides them, which I know that's not terribly difficult to do at 2-2, but still. And then Joe Burrow's injury, like, if you're going to keep trying him out there and defense are going to keep blitzing him, like, it's just definitely not in the cards for this year. So I don't know why. Yeah, just, like, take a reset. Kind of, like, you might just have to eat the season. Say, be like what the 2020 Warriors were, whatever, where they just absolutely sucked because everybody was injured. Get your top draft pick. Try and do something with it.
Yeah, I don't know. No, for sure. My second team is the Giants. The Giants are fucking garbage. I said they were going to be garbage like 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
They're fucking awful. They're making the worst defensive team in football coming in this week look like a top five defense. They have 9 sacks as of right now in this game. I get that you have a banged up offensive line, but this is still one of the worst fucking defenses in football that come in, and they're just absolutely obliterating you. Daniel Jones is fucking garbage. I still can't believe they signed him that contract. I bet they're regretting it. Their offense has no fucking talent. So I don't know what they're going to do going forward. This season's over. They're the worst 1-3 team by far, honestly. I don't think there's anyone that's worse than them. Yeah, I just don't know what they're going to do. They have enough talent on defense where they can be frisky. But the problem is that you have Daniel Jones locked with his contract. He's garbage. You have Saquon, who's on a franchise tag. And I feel bad for Saquon because they're just going to keep franchise tagging him probably. And he's just going to be stuck in this trap of New York shitty fucking football with Daniel Jones. They should have done Daniel Jones on the franchise tag. They're just in a horrible spot. They're an awful team. They're 10 times worse than the Vikings were last year, and they were just as good in one-score games, and no one was talking about them being a one-score game team. They're just awful. They're a bad football team. Brian Daboll, one of the most overrated coaches from last year. I don't understand why people think he was a great coach. And now he got sacked a 10th time as I'm talking. Boye Mafe. They're just garbage. They're awful. They're so fucking bad. I don't know what to say. They're a bad team, and they're not going to go anywhere. They're just garbage. Like, Brian Daboll could get fired this year. That's how bad they are. I don't understand why people.
No, Wink Martindale would get fired first before.
But I just don't get it. Like, I don't get what people saw in this team last year. Like, yeah, okay, they won a fucking playoff game. They would beat the fraud Vikings. Okay, that's nothing to brag about. So this team is awful. They didn't even win 10 games last year and crept in the playoffs. Like, limped in. They were so good to start, and then they limped in the playoffs. And now it's carrying over to this year, and they're as bad. They could easily be 0-4 if they didn't come back against. Even if they came back, like, they're still not a good team. The fact that they had to come back from 21 down against the Cardinals, just not good. They're a bad team. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I have no idea what they're going to do. Like, that. I'm glad I'm not a Giants fan, because it would be painful. I know it's been painful, but goddamn, it's going to get more painful going forward.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to get into Book It with Beef. This week, since I took the Seahawks spread, and they're destroying it. They just got their 11th sack. Jesus, that's insane.
I think 1.5 is hitting. So
yeah, I got two. I went 2-3, so I'm gonna win. And
that's very sad.
Yeah, 2-3 won this week. So yeah, I still haven't hit a. I don't think either of us have hit it in the bank yet.
Yeah, we both hit ours last week.
Oh, did we?
Or not, like, week 3. Because Seattle hit for me, Seattle -3.5, and San Francisco -10.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So.
I know I didn't hit mine last week. I know we didn't hit it last week.
No. Nope.
Yeah. All right.
1-2 right now.
So I'll start it off.
Yep, you get the honors.
I want to do. I'll just do it. London game over. Jacksonville versus Buffalo. 47.5 in the bank.
Straight cash, homie.
Tell them to bring me my money.
Yeah! Cash that. They're playing at Tottenham Stadium. That produces absolute shootouts. Going back and looking at the history, I'm pretty sure every game has gone over 50 points in that stadium. So I'm taking the over in this game. I am.
I like it.
That's what I'm going with. I was going to say something, but. Save it for my other book. If it doesn't
take it. Oh, so I think I know where you're going, but I'm not going to take it because I like a different line here. We are going to go with my favorite now. We are going Green Bay -2.5 at Las Vegas in the bank.
Great cash, homie.
Tell them to bring me my money. Yeah!
I'm feeling pretty good about this game. Like, I know the Packers just lost to the Lions on Sunday Night Football. Didn't put up too much of a fight. But the Lions are miles better than what the Raiders are. Packers fans travel very well. My parents and a couple of other family members are going to be there for that game. So they'll be trying to bring the noise a little bit.
What does that mean?
What do you mean?
Are your parents Packers fans?
No, but my grandparents are. Fun fact, my grandpa is a stakeholder in the Packers.
Oh, that's
technically an owner.
I don't give a fuck. That means nothing. It's a piece of paper. So they're going to cheer for the Packers, even though they're not Packers fans.
Yes, because my grandpa and my great aunt and uncle are pretty close to diehards.
Fake fans. You got some fake fans in the Warner family. Absolute phonies. Yeah, I'm calling you out. Yeah. I'm calling you out, Adam and Julie. I'm calling you guys out. Phonies.
No, my dad's just doing it because he thinks it would feel weird if he was in Vikings gear.
No, that would be awesome. 100% dude.
Well, yeah, but
the fucking Packers fans show up to Vikings games for no reason in Packers jerseys. It's an away game.
You wouldn't be, but you're not invited by a Packers family to go to the game, like your parents were.
See, the problem is I don't. Well, I guess it's different because it's family. I still wouldn't care. I don't repeat and like give in to Packers fans. I don't give a fuck.
But yes, I like the Packers here. I think that should be kind of a bounce back game for them. Monday Night Football also. So, yeah. In the bank.
Right. I'm going to go for another total. Go under New Orleans Saints at the Patriots. 39.5. Two bad offenses, two good defenses. Screams some really shitty football. Just like the Saints always have played all year long. Don't know if an over has hit in one of their games yet. I don't think it's
probably not.
I don't think it has. Yeah, so I love the under in this game. It's the only pick I actually really like.
You stole that one for me.
Yeah, I bet I did. It's a nice one.
Alright. Yeah. I agree. Let's see, so for my we'll go my dog. Makes sense to do that. I think, it's tough. All right. Nope, you know what? All right, we're going with Houston +1.5 at Atlanta. Basically, like, I know it's a pretty ugly line, but I think Houston just wins this game outright. I'm going to be honest. They've been playing very good football over the past couple of weeks. Dropped, 37 on the Steelers? 30, whatever it was. 30s. So CJ Stroud's looked pretty amazing. I think they get done at Atlanta.
Yeah, I was pulling up the Barstool app because I had a feeling they're gonna take that one. Even though I had said that Atlanta doesn't lose at home, I was just like, I think the Texans are way better. So I was gonna take that, but
Texans are ahead of schedule, man. They're looking pretty scary.
I was gonna take that, but I figured so I already pulled up. I got a new pick. I didn't really have another option, but I like this line. I'm going to save that for the end. My favorite, going back to London, Bills -5.5.
Yeah.
I think this line is a little disrespectful to the Bills. I still think the Jags don't look as crisp. I am worried, though, that the fact that the Bills are having to travel there and that the Jags stayed in London all week, that's the only thing I'm worried about.
Did they?
They stayed.
That's stupid that they scheduled back-to-back games in London for them.
Well, that's because they. Well, I think the reason why they did it is because they automatically play a home game there, and then they were going to schedule a London game. Why? Because it's like an advantage or whatever. Or no.
Well, like, if you're going to do an overseas game, you should only have to play once.
That's their problem. Is that the one they play as their home game technically doesn't count as an overseas game.
That's weird, but whatever.
Because they have that contract with London or whatever. They have the London contract where they've signed to play at least like one home game here for like a certain amount of years. So technically, it's not considered an international game. So that's why the NFL can schedule that back-to-back weeks.
Whatever. Makes sense, though. I like that line, too. I was thinking about that, but...
Yeah. I'm just worried. That's the only thing I'm worried about is that the Jags got to stay in London all week and are used to the time change, but...
And the Jags looked actually pretty decent against the Falcons, but also Desmond Ridder did not help the Falcons' case at all.
So. I did not think they looked good, but that's just me. I also was watching the Toy Story versions, so anything looked
bad. Yeah, that was hard to watch. Everything looked bad. I'm not gonna lie, that was awful.
Everything looked bad. I don't know what their idea was of that. That was bad.
But did you see that halftime show, though? Duke Kaboom?
That was the best part, because they can't fuck that up, because it's all animation. It's not, like...
Yeah, it's not real time.
Yeah, it's not real time, so it's not hard to fuck that up.
They should have partnered with EA to make it, like, actually get decent graphics on that thing.
I think what they should have done is they should have figured out a way for the game just to be like broadcasted, but make it the background Andy's room.
Yeah, that would have been fine.
Like, that would have been way better. And like, what? Like, I don't know why they just didn't do it like the Nickelodeon version, where they just put slime and shit up. and just do it like Andy's toys. The best part of the game was the fact that Slinky Dog was the first down thing.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, yep. That's my pick.
All right, I'm going to my over now. We're going with Carolina at Detroit, 45.5. I think the Lions carry the brunt of the load on this one, but their defense still isn't outstanding, so I think the Panthers can put up like 14 points, hopefully, and then just let the Lions do the rest there. Yeah, 45.5.
Right. My last pick is my dog. I got the Jets +2.5 against the Broncos. I think this line is catered to the fact that the Broncos are at home. I don't think the Broncos are the better team. I think the Jets defense is going to shut down the Broncos. And if Zach Wilson played like he did last night, I think that they very well could come away with this game and win. I mean, I think they're going to win based on my pick. It's only +2.5. But I think they're just the better team right now.
Yeah. Pretty solid line there. The Broncos did not look too hot last week against the Bears, at least in the first half.
No, definitely.
The Bears' defense is a lot worse than the Jets, so
yeah.
Don't mind that pick. Don't mind that pick at all. All right, my last pick, going back to Las Vegas, Green Bay, Las Vegas, under 44.5. Don't think these teams are going to be putting up too many points. It's going to be kind of a de facto defensive battle there. So yeah, 44.5. God damn it, 44.5.
Yeah, not bad.
44.5.
All right. Well, I think that's gonna do it for us here at Certified Geek.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for having us. Peace.
See you later.